So welcome to Authors Radio, amplifying voices, inspiring the world. I'm your host, Alba Mireles, and I'm absolutely delighted to welcome today's guest, Heath Lessing, the author of the book, Fade Away Joy. We're here to celebrate your creativity and explore the world you crafted in this book. Joe Hug, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate being here, and I'm excited to talk with you about my book.
So, Hugh, before we start to dive into this book, can you tell us a little bit about you? Who is Hugh, and what led you to become a writer?
Well, to honest, I've been a writer for a long time. I was a newspaper reporter for 35 years in my native state of Pennsylvania and also Virginia. I live now in Virginia, but during my newspaper days, I wrote feature stories on everything from, you know, small town topics to later on in my career as I advanced, I was embedded with the U.S. Navy during the earthquake humanitarian relief in Haiti in 2010. And I also spent 2 weeks in Ukraine pre-war, not during the war, but in 2018 as part of a journalist exchange program. So I had a lot of experience in writing news stories. And of course, you meet a lot of interesting people when you're a newspaper reporter. So those interactions kind of, I guess, influence my crime fiction.
And what was there a moment that you think, okay, I need to start a novel, I need to write this?
Yeah, that's a great question. I really liked writing short stories as opposed to novels, just because the length was more comfortable with me. But I actually wrote a piece of flash fiction, and flash fiction is very short. It's about 1,000 words. And that I looked at that little story and I thought, you know, this could be bigger and it could maybe be a longer story. And it gradually grew into a novel over time. So it probably took a few years to get it to where it was able to be published, but it grew from a very small seed.
And how did you think your professional background and life experience shaping you as an author?
You know, I think there's a fairly common transition of reporters, journalists who go into writing novels. And I think there's a reason for that. When you work at a newspaper or you write for a magazine, you become very good at meeting deadlines because you have to. You become very good at working with editors, again, because that's just part of the job. So I think it teaches you discipline. You know, when you write for a newspaper, you have to do it almost every day. And writing a novel, you know, as much as we talk about inspiration and creativity, there's certainly that side to it. But writing a novel is also a lot about discipline. It's about writing every day or as many days, you know, as often as you can, doing it constantly. And I think there's a natural transition between journalism and newspaper reporting and writing a novel because it teaches you some skills that are really valuable.
And without giving spoilers, what can you tell us about Joy as a character, his struggles, his motivations?
His last name is Joe Pendergast, and he is a tough guy, a bouncer. He's 63 years old. So he's getting up there in years, and he works for a crime boss, a guy who owns a bar and runs illegal poker games in his back room. Well, Joe has problems because not only is he getting older, he's starting to show signs of early onset dementia. He's forgetting things. He has kind of periods where he doesn't, you know, kind of know what's going on. And his boss of 40 years just abandons him, says, you're no longer of use to the criminal organization that I run. You need to get out of here, Joe. Sorry, it's been great, but, you know, I can no longer use you. Well, he feels obviously very betrayed. He wants to get back at his boss because, you know, he feels he's been abandoned. So early in the book, he starts plotting his revenge, but he meets a young homeless woman when he moves back to his hometown, who also who needs protection. She's on the run from bad folks. And Joe, even though he's got this diagnosis, can still he's still a pretty tough guy. He can protect people. So he's kind of torn. Do I go pursue my path of revenge against my boss and go out in a blaze of glory? Or do I help this young woman, you know, kind of maybe get her life back in order? And all the time he has this clock ticking inside his head, because with a dementia diagnosis, you don't really know how fast it's going to take you or how slow it's going to take you. So he has, you know, he has a lot of thinking to do, and he has one of two paths to choose.
And what themes run strongest through the story, like redemption, identity, memory, or something else?
You know, I think it's the ability to change. This is a man who's made bad choices for pretty much his whole life. You know, he's kind of a bad guy. He's broken a few laws along the way. He's broken a few bones along the way. Yet he can change, and he ends up helping this young woman. She ends up also helping him in terms of getting revenge against his boss in a bit of a smarter way. That's not just, you know, kind of going out in a blaze of glory. So they kind of ended up with this symbiotic relationship. But I think the theme is really about, you know, no matter what you've done through your life, you have the ability to change your life and to take on a different path, even when you're getting towards the end of your life.
And this kind of story, it made me think, like, were you trying to reflect any real world issue or social commentary through Joe's journey?
Well, you know, I was trying to illustrate the fact that even someone who has a disease that is ultimately fatal should never give up. This is a man who, you know, at the beginning of the book, he's thinking, oh gosh, you know, I've got this diagnosis. I don't know how long I have to live. I may as well just go out in a blaze of glory. And he doesn't do that. He is more productive. So I think it's about making the most of the time you have left. And it's about what you want to be remembered for. Because, you know, when he looks back on his life, he's done a lot of bad things, and he's probably not going to be remembered for many good things. And, you know, if he helps this young woman, he may be remembered for something that's positive instead of negative.
And which character was the most, like, fun or exciting or interesting to write, and which was the most challenging?
You know, the most fun character to write, that's an interesting question. There is a minor character in the book. Her name is Donna, and she is Joe's neighbor. When he gets fired from his job, he moves a short distance away back to his old neighborhood, and she's his neighbor. And what was interesting about her was, when I write a book, I plan my characters out in advance. I write bios of them. I write their life stories. I know everything about them. This neighbor, whose name is Donna, I never planned for her to be in the book. She just kind of showed up in the second chapter, as I thought she would be like a walk-on role in a TV show. And she just kind of kept coming back, and she grew on the page as I kept writing the novel, and she was right there at the end. So, you know, I kind of liked her because I never planned for her to be in the book. And I think the most challenging character was Joe himself, because of the dementia diagnosis. That's a hard thing to write, because he has periods of blackouts. He has periods where he doesn't know where he is. And you have to be sensitive in terms of how to portray that. And I think that took a lot of work and a lot of writing and rewriting before I got it right.
So if Fade Away Joy were adapted to a film, who do you imagine playing Joy?
You know, that's funny, because the it has been optioned for film.
Really?
There are a couple of filmmakers locally here in Virginia who think they can turn it into either a film, like a short independent, not a huge blockbuster film, but, you know, like a short independent film, or maybe like a short run TV series. You know, I always pictured Joe as kind of like a Clint Eastwood at 65 or 68, like an older Clint Eastwood, kind of an older guy, but still tough, that you don't want to mess with. He kind of had that picture in my mind as I was writing.
And now about your process of writing, what does a typical writing day look like for you?
I normally write in the mornings. Of course, now I just recently retired. I was old enough to stop working full time, so I can write at any time. But normally, like in the, when throughout my life I had a full time job, I would write in the mornings, and that way, everything is fresh in your mind, and the day hasn't gotten away from you. I don't really have a word count that I stick to. I just try to write every day. Sometimes you write three paragraphs and it's really tough, but they're really good three paragraphs. Sometimes you write 2,000 words and you look at it the next day and say, I think I might want to cut half of that because I didn't do very good yesterday. So it depends. But the key thing is just to keep writing.
And how long did it take you to write Fade Away Joy from the first draft to publication?
Probably about two years. I wrote the first draft in 3 months. I set it aside, forgot about it, worked on other things. And I brought it back for a class about novel writing where you had to submit a manuscript and people could look at it. And that kind of got me restarted again. People looked at it, suggested things. Interestingly, the young homeless woman in the story in the first draft was a guy. He met someone who was, kind of like a grandson to him, and it didn't quite work. And having it be a young woman, I just kind of increased the tension a little bit. So I'd say about two and a half years to publication. You normally, like when you get accepted by a publishing house, you're done. But then it takes about, 9 months to a year to actually have a book in your hand.
Yeah. And were there any particular scene that were emotionally difficult for you to write?
Yeah, there's a scene where he is driving with the young homeless woman who he has saved, mentored, and she's kind of teasing him about an old girlfriend. And he lapses into kind of a funk where he doesn't know where he is, and he hits her. And, it doesn't really, it doesn't hurt her. It doesn't draw any blood, but he is a man of violence who, if he wanted to, could kill her. I mean, he's a violent man. And just the fact that he hit her and the kind of the guardrails are off in his head was very uncomfortable for me, because it's like, wow, this guy he's a bad guy. And this was like a really close call, because for a while there, he didn't know who he was or what he was, and he could have really hurt her. So, that was kind of a painful moment, but I think it was necessary to illustrate the problems that he had.
Yeah. And at the end of the book, what do you hope readers will feel when they reach the final page?
I think I hope that they have a sense of, no matter what problems you face, whether it's physical or mental, and no matter what your history is, you need to forget all that, because you can always change. You can always be a positive force. And Joe is a great example of that. He kind of doesn't believe in himself when the book starts. And by the end of the book, even though his condition is beginning to take more of a hold, he believes in himself more, and he has more friends around him to support him kind of as he goes forward.
And has any reader feedback surprised you or shaped the way you see your own book?
The most satisfying feedback is when you write about the subject of dementia, or Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or whatever it is, you find out how many other families kind of deal with this situation. I dedicated the book to my father. He passed away after a diagnosis of dementia a number of years ago. But I've met people who have said, my mother had Alzheimer's or my dad had Parkinson's, and, they really, it was difficult to see the disease take them, but your character got it right. That rings true to me. You treated that character the way that it made sense to me. It was realistic. And I think that meant the most to me.
And do you see yourself writing another book of Joyce, or is this a standalone story?
This is probably a standalone story. It's difficult when your main character has a fatal disease to make a second book, you know, because, you know, towards the end of the book, his condition, you know, he's still got that clock ticking inside his head. I mean, it is possible to make a second book. It would probably be with the young homeless woman who is who he saves, because she has much more of a future ahead of her. But right now I'm trying to shop another standalone novel that would be more of like a series kind of deal.
And what are you currently working on? And can you give us a sneak peek?
Yeah, the novel that I'm shopping around is called 10 Days in Red Bend, and Red Bend is a fictional town in Virginia. It is about a veteran thief who breaks into a home and stumbles across new evidence in a cold case that relates to the death of her own parents some 35 years ago. So now our veteran thief needs to become a crime solver, and that's kind of what propels the narrative forward.
Nice. And what advice will you share with aspiring authors who want to create emotional, powerful, you know, kind of novels?
You know, I have a quote on my desk from Andre Dubuque, and it is, I don't quite agree with it, but I kind of agree with it. It's talent is cheap. What matters is discipline. And I think that's true. What matters, the discipline of writing, doing it every day, even when on days you don't feel like it, that's kind of where the inspiration comes from. You can't just sit there and wait for, you know, drops of blood to appear in your forehead and lightning to come down from the sky and all of a sudden you're creative. It doesn't work that way. You have to keep working at it. And I think that's the advice I can give. It is a marathon, not a sprint. Enjoy yourself. Keep at it. Even if you only write a paragraph a day, that's a paragraph. And the inspiration will come from the work.
Yeah, that's very hopeful. And finally, Hugh, where can listeners find Fightaway Joe and connect also with you online?
Well, my website is just www.hughlessig.com. You can find Fadeaway Joe on Amazon. It is a hardback. It's a Kindle version. There's an Audible version. It's also on my publisher's site, which is Crooked Lane Books. And I'm pretty sure it's on Barnes & Noble and Goodreads and all those other sites. It's mostly in the Barnes & Nobles here in Virginia and on some independent bookstores. So it's around, but you can find it pretty much. Amazon's probably the easiest place to find it.
Yeah. Okay. Hugh, it has been a pleasure to having you on Authors Radio, and thank you for giving us a glimpse into your work and sharing your passion. And listeners, be sure to check his book. And thank you for turning into Authors Radio, amplifying voices, inspiring the world. And join me next time for another inspiring conversation. In the meantime, happy listening.
Thank you.